Hello, this is Pastor Cal Hampton. I want to thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to listen to our Second Mile podcast. It is my prayer that the Spirit of God might just enliven your spirit so that you might get a word from heaven today. And as always, you have an invite to come and worship with us down here at Second Mile Church on 804 Riverside Drive in Clarksville. May the Lord bless you. Thank you. If you'd be finding 2 Chronicles, that's way over there in your Old Testament, chapter 20. That's where we're going to be this morning. And while you're finding 2 Chronicles, chapter 20, I want to read a Facebook post I got from an old friend of mine. Her name's Cindy Keating. It says, it's 4 a.m. as I lie here and listen to all the sounds, and then at times the silence coming from the rooms around me, I hear Code Blue, 5 West, on a speaker repeated about 5 times. And then I watch as sisters with arms wrapped around one another take turns spending time with a sister who may not make it through the night. I also need a liver. My blood isn't clotting. My gums are bleeding. But all these things take a back seat as I see the suffering and sorrow of these people. Don't get me wrong. I want a liver, but what I'm saying is take a moment to look around yourself and see the pain of people around you. Pray for them. You'll be blessed by it. I don't know if we're under satanic attack. I think there's always spiritual warfare going on. Some of the things that come down our path are the result of just the world that we live in. You know, if you're a government worker, for the last month you missed out on 2 paychecks. How many of you would enjoy that? And then in just 3 more weeks, it's looming very large, the government may shut down again. That affects almost 1 million people in our country. And then, I don't know if you increasingly, I don't watch as much news as I used to because you get depressed. But the state legislature in New York just passed a law that says it's now legal to abort any baby right up until birth. We're in a mess. We really are. And our church is right in the middle of it. This county's in a mess. This whole country is in a mess. There's a great text in the Old Testament, and the people of God were in a mess. There were 3 huge enemy armies coming against the nation of Judah. The Ammonites, the Moabites, and the people of Mount Seir were coming against the nation of Judah and the people of God. And they were powerless to stop them. If you found 2 Chronicles chapter 20, let me just invite you, if you can, to honor God's Word by standing. If you can't stand this morning, that's all right. Just honor God's Word in your heart. I want to just read one verse of Scripture to you, verse 12. 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and verse 12. Have you got it? Listen to this verse. This is the prayer of King Jehoshaphat. And by the way, isn't that a name with a $50 handle? King Jehoshaphat. He says, O our God, will you not judge them? Now listen to this. For we have no power against this great multitude that is coming against us. Nor do we know what to do. Do you hear their helplessness? We don't have any power to stop this force that's coming against us. And Lord, we don't know what to do. But, here's one of those big buts in the Bible. Our eyes are upon you. Our eyes are upon you. Father, would you teach us this morning to somehow, with all that's going on around us, to keep our eyes on you.
Help us, Lord Jesus. Help us to do that, Father. In your name we pray. All God's saints said, amen. Amen. Please be seated. In the midst of potentially a massive defeat, King Jehoshaphat and the nation of Israel were in a situation and they were up against an enemy they could not defeat. In their own strength, in their own... How many of y'all have heard this? And I think I've mentioned this before. This ridiculous saying that says, God will never put more on you than you can stand. That is not right. God will allow all kinds of things to happen to us that we can't stand. That we can't bear up against. But He will never allow you to encounter any experience or any circumstance that He can't handle. Maybe they heard it better over here. We're going to learn this morning how to keep our eyes on Him. Because that is the key to everything that's going on around us this morning. Now, January has been a month of prayer and fasting here at Second Mile Church. And next Sunday is going to be celebrating. We're going to celebrate next Sunday. We're going to have a praise and prayer service in here like maybe you've never been a part of. Now, y'all please show up. And I promise you, I won't call on you to pray. I won't call on you to read Scripture. I won't call on you to do anything. But if the Spirit of God calls, you better say yes. So, y'all come on back next Sunday because I think you're going to hear some fabulous testimonies of what God's been doing this month amongst us. But this morning, I want us to focus. Whenever God's people begin to pray and fast together, something amazing happens. Look at verse 3. Now I've kind of set the table for you. Y'all know what they're up against. And Jehoshaphat feared and set himself, here it is, to seek the Lord and proclaimed a fast throughout all Judah. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord. And from all the cities of Judah, they came to seek the Lord. Now, jump down to verse 13. Now all Judah, with their little ones, their wives and their children, stood before the Lord. And so, the king recognized that they were powerless against this enemy. He didn't even know what to do. All he knew that they needed to do was just to somehow keep their eyes on the Lord. And so he calls for the people of God to pray and fast. And then he calls for a prayer meeting. A prayer meeting. And he doesn't even serve barbecue.
How do you get anybody to show up?
That's right. And I mean, all the people come. I mean, verse 13 and verse 4 says that everyone came to this prayer meeting. And every one of them were fat. Even the children, the little boys and the little girls, the teenagers, the college kids. The moms, the dads, the grandparents, the aunts, the uncles, the in-laws, even the outlaws showed up for the prayer meeting because they were up against an enemy they could not whip. And they didn't know what to do. All they knew to do was to pray and fast with a spiritual goal in mind. Did you catch the purpose of their prayer? Did you see it? Or did it just jump right by you? Look at verse 4. So Judah gathered together to ask help from the Lord, and from all the cities of Judah they came to what? Seek the Lord. They were seeking God. They wanted Him to be glorified in this thing. Can I ask you just a real personal question? Why did you come to church this morning? Why did you come this morning? I hope you came to seek the Lord. Because if you came to hear the singing, or you came just to hear the preaching, I believe those are important things. But if you came to fellowship with the saints, that's not a bad thing. But if you came for any other reason than to just seek the Lord, all your efforts are going to be in vain. And by the way, Jeremiah 29 says, God says, you will seek me and you will find me when you search for me with all of your heart. Is that what you came for this morning? You're seeking the Lord today. And so listen to this prayer. This is a powerful prayer in this huge prayer meeting as God's people are praying and fasting. Look at verse 6. He acknowledges, King Jehoshaphat acknowledges God's providence and God's sovereignty and God's omnipotence. He says, O Lord God of our fathers, are you not God in heaven, and do you not rule over all the kingdoms of the nations? And in your hand is there not power and might, so that no one is able to withstand you? He's acknowledging God's sovereignty, God's power, God's omnipotence, God is not up in heaven wringing his hands wondering, what am I going to do now? How in the world am I going to get Tad what he needs? How am I going to take care of Carolyn and Bob? How am I going to take care of Shannon and Steve and Shannon's dad? God's got a plan. God's got a purpose. And he is seated high and lifted up over the throne of the universe. And King Jehoshaphat, he wasn't reminding God of that. He was acknowledging that. And then he reminds God in verse 7 that God was a covenant-keeping God. How many of you know God keeps his promises? Look at verse 7. Are you not our God who drove out the inhabitants of this land before your people Israel and gave it to the descendants of Abraham, your friend forever? He's reminding God, you're not only omnipotent, you're all-knowing, and we are your people. We are your possession. And you made a covenant with us, and you are a covenant-keeping God. You folks, there are thousands of promises in the Word of God. And all we've got to do is claim them. God, your Word says that I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Your Word says that you would supply all of my need according to your riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Your Word says for me that if I would place my trust in you and that I would acknowledge you, that you would direct my path. Your Word says this and that, and then just claim the promises of God. Have mercy. He's a covenant-keeping God. Tell somebody he keeps his word. Now, the other two-thirds of you all say, he keeps his word. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And then look at verses 10 and 11. And now here are the people of Ammon, the Ammonites, the Moabites, and the people that live on Mount Seir, whom you would not let Israel invade when they came out of the land of Egypt, but they turned from them and did not destroy them. Here they are, Lord, rewarding us by coming to throw us out of your possession, which you've given to us to inherit. Oh, our God, will you not judge them? We don't have any power against this great multitude that's coming against us, nor do we know what to do. Do you sense his helplessness? His total and utter dependence on God. And then look at verse 9. He says, if disaster comes upon us, sword, judgment, pestilence, or famine, we will stand before this temple and in your presence, for your name is in this presence, and cry out to you in our affliction, and you will hear and save. He's depending on God for salvation, for deliverance, for direction, for guidance. And by the way, so should we. Whatever it is you're going through this morning, whatever it is that seems to be coming down on you and surrounding you, I'll make you this promise. You can have a spiritual breakthrough if you will unite with the people of God and find somebody to pray and fast with. You see, it is when we give up that which is natural in order to invoke that which is supernatural that you will experience the power of Almighty God. I don't understand it. I don't get it. I don't know why. But there is something powerful when God's people all come together and we're united in one purpose to bring glory and honor to our God and Savior. When we pray together and fast together, when we come together to worship God, listen, brothers and sisters, the power of God comes on us. And that which has come against us is powerless against Him. I can't drive that point home any better. United, fervent, passionate prayer helps us keep our eyes on Him. Here's a second thing, though, and I don't want you to miss this. Obedience to God's Word. Hello? Obedience to God's Word helps keep our eyes on Him. Look at verse 14. Then the Spirit of the Lord came upon Jahaziel, the son of Zechariah, the son of Benaiah, the son of Jael, the son of Mattaniah, a Levite of the sons of Asaph in the midst of the assembly. And so, you know, after Jehoshaphat offered this great prayer in this tremendous prayer meeting, the Spirit of the Lord fell on one of the Levites, one of the priests. He was, by the way, a son of Asaph. You know who Asaph is? He wrote some of your Psalms. This was a great man of God. And so this man stands up with the power of God on him and he speaks the word of the Lord to the people of God. Look at verse 15. And he said, "Listen, all of you of Judah and you inhabitants of Jerusalem and you, King Jehoshaphat, thus says the Lord to you, do not be afraid nor dismayed because of this great multitude, for the battle is not yours." Whose is it? It is God's. "Tomorrow, go down against them. They will surely come up by the ascent of Ziz. Where do they come up with these names? Jehoshaphat, Ziz. You will find them at the end of the brook before the wilderness of Jeruel. You will not need to fight in this battle." Why wouldn't they need to fight? Because He's going to take care of the fight. You see, this is a fight that's fixed. Hello? "Position yourselves. Stand still and see the salvation of the Lord who is with you. O Judah and Jerusalem, do not fear or be dismayed. Tomorrow, go out against them, for the Lord is with you." And Jehoshaphat bowed his head with his face to the ground. And all Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem bowed before the Lord, worshiping the Lord. And look at verse 20. "So they arose early in the morning." What is that? That's obedience. First thing in the morning, they did what the Word of God told them to do. He says, "So they rose early in the morning and went out into the wilderness of Tekoa. And as they went out, Jehoshaphat stood and said, 'Hear me, O Judah, and you inhabitants of Jerusalem. Believe in the Lord your God, and you shall be established. Believe His prophets, and you shall prosper.'" Obedience to the Word of God helps us keep our eyes on Him. Now, I think we tend to think that this is our church, our ministry, our life. No, 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 no. This is His church. This is His ministry. This is not even my life. I died 51 years ago. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ who lives in me. The life I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. Whatever struggle you are in, it really doesn't matter because it's the Lord's battle. It's the Lord's battle. And did you notice what the Word of God tells them to do? They weren't supposed to fight. All they were supposed to do was what? Stand in faith. And that's what God's calling us to do. Because you see, it's not our battle. It's His battle. It's His battle. And by the way, it'll be His victory. We used to sing an old song. Y'all can tell by my age. You can tell my age by some of the songs I like to bring up. But any of y'all remember the old song we used to sing, "Take Your Burdens to the Lord"? And what did the song say we were supposed to do with our burdens? Leave them there. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. Leave them there. If you will trust and never doubt, God will surely lead you out. Take your burdens to the Lord and leave them there. But what old Pastor Cal likes to do, I take my burdens to the Lord, but before I get up, what do? I take those burdens and pick them back up and take them off with me. How stupid! How dumb that is! Because God's able. He is able. Not me, He's able. And so when we stand in faith and we are obedient to the Word of God, that's going to help you keep your eyes on the Lord. Leave your burden with the Lord. It's His battle. When you tell Him about the battle and you acknowledge all those things that King Jehoshaphat did, you're just putting the ball in God's... And by the way, it matters whose hands you put things in. Y'all have heard all that, right? I don't need to go through that with you. Every now and then some of y'all get on social media, I know. It matters whose hands you put things in. You put a basketball in my hands and at my stage of life, that ain't going to get much done, but you put a ball in a 50-something-year-old Michael Jordan's hands and he's still able to do whatever needs to be done. Right? And so put that battle in the Lord's hands. It's His battle. And He'll fight that battle for you. All we're supposed to do is exercise our faith and be obedient to God's Word. There's one final thing, and I don't want you all to miss this because it's very important. We not only need to unite in prayer and fasting to keep our eyes on Him. We not only need to be obedient to the Word of God in order to keep our eyes on Him, but number three, we need to praise God even in the midst of trouble. We need to praise Him in the midst of trouble. That keeps our eyes on Him. Look at verse 19. Then the Levites of the children of the Kohathites and the children of the Korathites stood up to praise the Lord God of Israel with voices loud and high. Verse 21, and when he had consulted with the people, he appointed those, that's King Jehoshaphat, who should sing to the Lord and who should praise the beauty of holiness as they went out before the army and were saying, "Praise the Lord, for His mercy endures forever." Now when they began to sing and to praise, the Lord set ambushes against the people of Ammon, Moab, and Mount Seir, who had come against Judah, and they were defeated. For the people of Ammon and Moab stood up against the inhabitants of Mount Seir to utterly kill and destroy them. And when they had made an end of the inhabitants of Seir, they helped to destroy one another. Isn't it amazing? After the prayer meeting was over, the Levites got up, the priests got up, and they began to sing. And they began to lift their voices to heaven in praise to God. And then Jehoshaphat, instead of organizing an army, put a choir together. Hello? Does that make sense? No. But all things are possible with God. And can I just, you listen to me. I don't know what's happening to you in your life, but if you can find a way to praise God in the midst of trouble and tribulation, if you can find a way to praise God in the bad times, there is something supernatural that happens. It gets the attention of God. How many of y'all are parents in here? What do you do for your kid when they're in trouble and they immediately begin to tell whoever it is how awesome their mom and daddy is? Huh? Well, our God has multiplied millions of times over better than we are as parents. And when we praise Him, that ushers in faith for us and tells God we're totally dependent upon You. I like what Psalm 116:19 says. in the courts of the Lord's house, in the midst of you, O Jerusalem, praise the Lord. I woke up early this morning, and sometimes God will lay something on my heart. And this song that I wanted to get Ellen to play for you all says it far better than I could say it. And it's about a 6 or 7 minute video clip, so just be patient, but I want you to listen to the words. This is the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir and Karen Melendez singing it. And the name of this song is, I Never Lost My Praise. Says it far better than what I could ever say. Listen to this video clip. Go ahead, Ellen.
Never changed. I never lost my hope.
I knew y'all would get a big blessing out of that. But you hear what I believe she believed what she was singing about. And you know what? We've got that same opportunity today to give God praise in the midst of our trouble, to be obedient to God's Word, even when everything's falling apart around us, and unite together in fervent, passionate prayer. Would you stand to your feet? As our musicians are coming, let me just say this morning. There's an old-fashioned altar right here. Or you can clear out a spot where you're sitting and make it an altar. But I believe in my heart of hearts, there's some people up in here that need to praise God. And you do that, first of all, by exercising your faith and just expressing your dependency upon Him and laying all your burdens on the Lord. As we're about to sing, we need God every hour. We need Him all the time, not just on Sunday, but especially Monday through Saturday. And as we sing, you need to come and pray or give God praise. That's what this altar's for. The psalmist says that we are needy people. And I agree with that. And you have met all of our needs according to our great Savior. In His riches we stand today. And we give you praise. In Jesus' name, amen.
This is Pastor Cal again. I hope you enjoyed the message. If you'd like to talk to me or another pastor about some issue that you may have, a question you might have, you're free to call 931-332-6288.